you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm very thrilled. I think you can be thrilled or not thrilled, but I've decided I'm very thrilled to have in studio with us Scott Wilson, who is in town for the Walker Stalker Convention, and we'll talk a lot about that. I want to make sure that people who have not gotten deep into the Walking Dead series, and if they're worried about spoilers, I'm giving you an alert, because Elliot Serrano and Jerry Nunn are in studio with us as well, and they have a lot of things to say about Herschel Green from Walking Dead.
I've got a lot of grief to work through right now.
Right. Right. Are you reliving it, seeing him in studio?
Don't leave us.
It's been a while.
Yeah. He hasn't recovered.
I have not recovered.
I told him you were going to be here, and he still had so much grief to work through, so I told him to come in studio.
That's cool. But my head grew back. My leg grew back.
Yeah, that's healthy.
Life is good.
All of that is better. I'm going to ask you to come closer so we can hear your incredible voice.
Is that close enough?
That's so fantastic. That Georgia accent. Now, do you have a Georgian accent? Because I know you were born there, but have lived in California for 40 years.
I don't think it's totally a Southern Georgian accent, I don't think.
Do Georgians give you a hard time for being from Georgia and now being?
They call me a Yankee there.
Yeah, see? That's the thing about the South, isn't it? There's a lot of pride. There's a lot of
north-south stuff still going on there.
I was in Alabama, and I have a joke that all the signs say 65 south and 65 in the other direction going, you're going the wrong way, because they do not like the north.
I was born in Atlanta, and I grew up there, and it was kind of neat being back in around Atlanta where I grew up. I ran into people that I knew when I was 4 years old. And like that. So it was kind of interesting to, you knew them before they knew how to fly, and now they're too old to fly.
But there was some flying done in between.
Yeah, there was flying done in between.
And you were a basketball star.
I'm going to say that. I was a player for sure.
With a scholarship for basketball.
I loved it. I loved baskets. I got hepatitis. I could no longer play, and they said if I had a relapse, it's fatal. I said, fatal? I said, really? Let me see some of the world before I check out.
So I
hitchhiked to California.
Yeah. What made you choose? Well, one, obviously a different time in this country when someone just decides they're going to up and hitchhike. Hitchhike to California.
Well, it was before Interstate 10 that goes from Jacksonville to Santa Monica. And at that time, you saw more of small-town Americana, and you ate in little restaurants that were mom-and-pops. Now it's one stretch of road, and you have the fast food places, and it goes a lot faster. Different tempo of life.
What drew you to California? Was it for the movies and television?
No, it was that they said I couldn't play basketball any longer, so I said, okay.
Let's go do something else.
I think I'll see some of the world if I can. And I have. I've seen a lot of the world.
And I would imagine. And being an actor was not something that you even went out there with the aspiration to do. Was it more?
If I did, I didn't acknowledge it to myself. But I got drunk and ended up in an acting class. And the teacher said, I don't know what your problem is. Don't come back to my class drunk.
Okay, fair.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. So I went back next week to apologize, and he gave me a monologue to do from Eugene O'Neill one-act play.
Oh, wow.
Called A Long Voyage Home. I went back for some reason next week. I did it and said, this is it. This is what I want.
Wow. How do you find something in that 1 week, because doing a monologue, you're trying to decide how you're going to just say words, because people think that's what acting is.
But I should say I've been drunk ever since. No.
We were talking about that. I have some, if you want something before you go, I have some Jameson's Black Casket for you if you do. If you'd like. But I know you do travel a lot, as you mentioned earlier, you've seen so much of the world, and tonight you had sort of a hectic experience at were you at O'Hare Airport?
I was, yes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, it was crazy. I've traveled a lot. I've never done that before.
Had your suitcases taken?
It wasn't taken. I left it, I guess.
Right.
And so I thought I'd left it in the men's room. And I go back. It wasn't there.
Okay.
I stopped to get some coffee there. So all these people are helping me look for my suitcase. And finally, we leave and And I had asked Michael Rooker if he wanted to take my place here.
Sure.
And he said, I love you, but not that much.
he wanted to be done with the traveling and work today.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, we're walking along. I said, maybe someone found it, left it downstairs or turned it in. So we're walking along, and there it is.
Just there. I'm glad to know that the people who travel through O'Hare Airport left your stuff alone. Even if they happen to have moved it.
I think in this day and age, they may have been afraid there was a bomb in it or something.
Sure, yeah, that's the thing. You're lucky you didn't come back and see the SWAT all over it with some bomb-sniffing dogs.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to come back to your bag seeing the little beagle sitting next
no, you
to
don't.
It, you know?
No, you don't. You don't want to see that at all. No. I was almost afraid to take it.
But then the beagle looks at you and goes, wait, I know you.
From that TV show. Right. Is it interesting because you have a remarkable career that I am a fan of and so many different incarnations. That's the thing about being an actor. You've embodied, you know, from killers to being a naval. I don't know if it was a naval commander in G.I. Jane. I can't quite remember.
Special ops.
Yeah. There's some great scenes. I have to, and this is something I don't think Elliot or Jerry know, and I don't know if this is something that, I don't know if I should share this story with you, but I'm a big fan of the G.I. Jane movie.
I am
and
too.
I really love that movie, and I actually watched that movie during when I was in labor.
Really?
As sort of a badass, I can do this sort of a movie.
Cool.
That I watch.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just I'm not sure why I needed to share that with you, but I'm kind of tickled that I get to.
Well, I'm glad that you did share it with me.
It's fantastic. It is a remarkable movie
in so many ways. Demi Moore was just fantastic in it.
And Anne Bancroft.
Viggo Mortensen and
yes.
Anne Bancroft.
Oh.
You know, it was really a very strong cast and a lot of fun doing it.
You were so badass. You seriously?
Well, it was fun. I had some dialogue that I enjoyed.
So many great lines. That cigar? Talking about that cigar? Oh. We'll pull up some of that audio when we air this,
yeah.
too.
Good. It's a
great movie, and I know that the guys are itching to talk about The Walking Dead. So the reason you are in town is for Walker Stalker Convention at the Rosemont, the Adlai E. Stevenson. Donnelly Stevenson Convention Center up there in Rosemont, which is a great venue. A lot of fans really are so committed to the characters that they lived and died with. Mm. And so I'm giving a spoiler right now to people who are like Elliot and have not recovered yet. From what, Elliot? From what? Well, first, let's talk about the character.
He went to go live on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing. And he's happy now.
Oh, there you go. is that what you tell people? Yeah, Herschel's not here because he went to go live on a farm.
Right. He started on a farm, chased rabbits. And then went back to the farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was, I figure at this point in time, I'll give them the spoiler. What is their, for me, I mean, what is their... If they haven't heard about it by now,
right? That's not our fault,
is it? It's like at least it's been a few seasons now, right?
2014?
It's been about three
seasons.
It's been about three seasons,
and you knew it was coming. Well, you figured at some point because they have essentially killed off all the beloved.
I knew they were going to take me out when the third episode of season four. They made me too proactive.
Oh, I see.
I said, oh.
That's
this is not a good sign. Mm-hmm. They have me actually talking and actually saying things that are proactive. You step out, you know, blah, 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 blah. Great speeches, great writing, wonderful writing. They had great writers on the show.
Absolutely.
And still, and then episode five, when I go into the prison to save everyone and I said, I'm done. This is definitely it. And after we were through with that episode, they called me in and told me.
They gave you hero status.
Yeah, but it was a good... They did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did. It was fun doing it.
They have a party for you or something, right, when you're going to die? I heard about
that. Well, there's a dinner.
A death dinner.
Aww. Yeah. That the cast all go to a death dinner.
Oh.
So it's kind of...
bittersweet, right?
It's bittersweet. It's nice, and it's like... The condemned ate a hearty meal.
Right. Last Supper.
Well, I don't want to make this feel like a Last Supper. Let's take a quick break here and continue our conversation with the remarkable actor Scott Wilson, who's in town for the Walker Stalker Convention at the Donnelly Stephen Convention Center in Rosemont up here. And right off, you know, it's really easy to get to. It's right up by the airport. So we've got the whole weekend to check out all of our favorites from The Walking Dead. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, geeking out slowly but surely with actor Scott Wilson in studio and in town this week for Walker Stalker Convention at the Donnelly Stephen Convention Center in Rosemont. Also joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. So it works out very well. Also writes for The Red Eye. And you can go to geektome.net for everything that he writes. And Jerry Nunn, nunnontherun.com for all the things that he writes. And really a pleasure to have you in studio. As I was mentioning your career, and when we came into the studio before we started the conversation, you were mentioning that In Cold Blood is celebrating the 50th year. Really? This is a 50th anniversary of that movie.
My first two films came out 50 years ago this year. In the Heat of the Night first, and then In Cold Blood.
Was that because In the Heat of the Night you play a murder suspect in that as well? Sort of this.
In the Heat of the Night I am picked up for murder, but he was innocent. Yeah. I don't think that the two characters have no real similarities in Heat of Night and In Cold Blood.
Not even a little bit, because the nature of In Cold Blood was, had you ever seen a movie like that before?
No, I don't think anyone had.
No, it was it was groundbreaking.
It was. It was, and it was the reason I was up for that was that Sidney Poitier and Quincy Jones both called the director Richard Brooks and said, "This is the guy you should have for that, you know, for that film." So that got me in the door, and
it's a dark, tough story with really characters that have so much to work with, obviously.
Right, but you know, really, that was a tough time. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, Vietnam, civil rights legislation, a couple of assassinations.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy. It was in that same time frame when the film came out. They had the thing here in Chicago, Richard Specht, who slaughtered eight nurses. Mm-hmm. It's a tough time. I mean, you have a tendency to think today is tough, and it is. But there's always been some tough things going on.
The country was raw, and at the same time, cinematically, we hadn't yet gotten to the point where we could sit in a theater and watch that. And I think that was the turning point in the way film and television, film first and then television eventually. Mm. And which brings us to The Walking Dead, because the way of storytelling, I mean, when I watched the pilot episode of Walking Dead, I mean, that is some stark cinematography.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was really... really wonderful. Frank Darabont was and really the reason I was in The Walking Dead was because Frank Darabont was a fan of In Cold Blood.
Oh, really?
And another film called The Ninth Configuration that he saw when he was going to film school, and that made him come to me, you know, and Frank Darabont's a wonderful director. And when you hear Frank Darabont's name and you hear Gail Ann Hurd's name, you say, okay, I'm interested, because they're great film people, great filmmakers.
And when you go to the conventions, though, and people really want to talk to you about, I'm guessing a lot of it's The Walking Dead. I mean, it's wonderful that you are there because of the career you've had. Mm. But like Elliot said that he pretty much stopped watching the show.
Okay, I should say that. Yeah, no.
You were out, he was out.
Once we were, because I had some issues with that. I remember, if I remember correctly, didn't you tell the showrunner at that point that it was kind of a mistake on their part to kill your character?
Then said you're making a mistake, but it's yours to make.
Right,
that's true.
And I mean, I had issues with it, not only from the fact that I really cared for your character, but I had narrative issues with it as well. I was saying it didn't really make sense to me at that point.
Well, I don't want to beat him up, you know. He's a wonderful writer and a wonderful showrunner. But that is basically what I said to him. I must have said that somewhere once for you to know that.
We run the same wavelength.
Right, on the same wavelength. Just we're in tune with each other. But no, I did say that. I said, I think you're making a big mistake, you know. And he says, well, we're going to a darker place, and your character is not dark enough, and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Go for it.
You're like, good luck with that. Go ahead, Ali.
I'm sorry. And I can't help but wonder now, with the talk about G.I. Jane, you know, Ridley Scott, director on that. And now Ridley Scott is kind of revisiting a lot of his earlier work. He's doing the Alien sequel. He's doing a Blade Runner sequel. Mm. Knowing that he's going back to revisit his greatest hits, has he been on the phone with you and said, hey, you know, let's do a G.I. Jane 2 or something like that? You want to come on out?
Don't get me excited. We're due. We are due for that movie.
There was a line that I said, is it all right if I said this? Which was... shit, fire, and save matches, if that's okay.
Absolutely, so. That's okay. We'll work it out. that's just for me. I don't care. Right.
And that was a thing that a kid in high school used to say all the time.
That's great.
So I said, this sounds like an Army thing to me.
Sure.
Or, you know,
an officer thing,
officer
for sure.
Officer thing, yeah. Something, you know, particularly this officer.
No kidding.
So... All the people I knew that when we were in school that knew Ryden knew where it came from.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a tip of the hat towards him.
That's a nice injection there. And having worked on movies through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and then some of the television, you know, CSI as Mark Hilgenberg's dad and the casino mogul, and now obviously really reaching a whole new audience, a new generation with Herschel Greene. What have you noticed in the way movies are made and the way television is made, how that's evolved and changed?
Well, it certainly... The thing that's most interesting to me is like with Netflix and Amazon, you can make an 8-hour movie in essence. You break it down and have it broken down into episodes. Mm-hmm. But you can sit there and watch 7-8-hour movie.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, and even longer. I think that's phenomenal. And I think a lot of television is, I think this is kind of the golden age of television because of cable and because of the Netflixes and the Amazons and the Hulus and
all those things.
All those things.
Yeah. What does a Scott Wilson sit down and watch for 8 hours?
Oh, what did I say? I sat down and watched Homeland for a long time.
Did you get now? Have you caught up to this season?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. Because last season was a little rough. I think it's picking up this season.
Yeah. Well, I have to binge watch now because I'm traveling, moving around too much to not binge watch.
Right.
But I liked it. I'm in another show now called The OA.
Okay.
Britt Marling and
I've heard great things about that. I haven't had a chance to watch. I'm in.
Very well. A lot of people love the show. It's well received.
And what is the OA on? Is that on?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix, excellent. Thank you. Yeah. And people always ask me, what should I binge watch? People on Facebook always want to know, what should I binge watch? This is going to be my answer now. That's what I'm going to binge watch.
It's like I liked Stranger Things. Have you seen Stranger Things?
Absolutely.
I loved that. I binged that.
Absolutely. You know?
That was a good one.
That was very good.
8 episodes.
Those kids are fantastic. More,
aren't they, though?
Yeah.
I know.
They're wonderful.
And wonderful to see Winona Ryder and Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wonderful. All of the actors in it are wonderful. Yeah.
I agree. And when you are at the convention, as you are this weekend, and other conventions across the country, for Walker Stalker or any of the Comic-Con conventions, what are you most impressed with when fans come up to you?
I love the people that attend these conventions. I mean, or whatever you want to call them, but they aren't like the fans that go to sporting events who come in and they're all jacked up. They want their team to win, and it's fun to go to those too. But
sure.
But at these things, people bring their kids and they dress up as different characters that they like, and you know,
sure.
It's fun to see people having a good time. And I've never seen a disagreement.
I agree.
I've never seen a people arguing or fighting or.
I think that's the case. Elliot and I have been to a lot of.
Have you ever seen that?
No,
the only time
I've never...
was the pencil incident at San Diego Comic Con in Hall
the
H.
The pencil
but
incident.
Since then, no one talks about that.
The pencil incident.
Someone gets stabbed with a pencil.
No.
Waiting for a seat. But that's San Diego Comic Con, which is a different animal altogether.
It's not going to happen in Chicago.
Did they ask you to sign like body parts or anything crazy?
Yeah.
Well, they asked me to sign their bodies.
Yeah.
Parts. Yeah.
How many boobs?
I mean,
right. Like a bird.
It's part of it.
And a lot of the fans make little Herschel dolls and make.
Aww.
Some fans made a blanket for me and a blanket for my mother. And
oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, very nice. A lot of good craftsmanship in them. They're quality.
Nice.
Quality stuff. So it's and a lot of people bring me cigars and
oh my gosh,
what they saw G.I. Jane, I guess.
How many of these do you do a year? Like how often are you just going all the time, traveling?
Well, it depends on if I'm working or not. Mm-hmm. But I have done, this is what, third one this year?
That's pretty good. It's a pretty good route.
No, well, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. It's the third one this year.
Hopefully the weather warms up for you. Go ahead, Elliot.
I'm sorry. No, I just got to ask. So I know you've encountered this, but what does it feel like when you see a cosplayer dressed as one of your characters?
Well, a lot of the characters, cosplayers, have won awards playing Herschel. Mm-hmm. This one guy was sitting at a table with a checkered tablecloth with just his head showing, right?
Oh, dear.
And a plate of spaghetti in front of him, with him having spaghetti hanging out. He won first place in that one where he dressed up like that.
So just from the head up.
Oh, dear.
That's kind of like cheating, if you ask me. I just need.
Well, it was kind of clever, you know, him sitting there at a table, because the line that Herschel had in episode 5, where he was in the prison cell, and he says, "I hereby declare Spaghetti Tuesdays every Wednesday." So he was the embodiment of that line at the
very nice.
Oh, too funny.
Are you guys still like a family? Like when you see Emily,
definitely.
You know,
yeah,
at this tomorrow and. Yeah, I'll get together.
Definitely. I mean, that's one of the good things about doing the shows is you get to see some of the people that you worked with there.
Well, I know that you've had a long day. You've been traveling. I want to make sure that you get some rest, and I hope you have a chance to enjoy Chicago. It was warm earlier today. I swear it really was. It got a little chilly tonight, and I want to encourage everyone to, one, watch The OA on Netflix, and, of course, catch up on The Walking Dead if you haven't already. Scott Wilson, who's been in studio and gracious with his time tonight, please. Oh, are you calling Michael Rooker right now?
Yes, I am.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. We're calling.
Tell him to watch his language.
What's
up? Is this Michael Rooker?
Yeah, that's right. It's Mike Rooker. What do you want?
You be nice. You're on radio.
That's right. Watch yourself.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, how you doing, radio?
This is Patty that you're talking to.
Yeah,
here.
We've met. I'm bringing the guards from North Avenue Beach in studio tomorrow to make sure you come to the next reunion.
And Mr. Rooker will be there tomorrow as well.
At the Donnelly Stevenson Convention Center for Walker Stalker.
That's right.
Yeah, who are we talking to there? What are you doing?
He can't hear you.
Oh, yeah, he can't. Patty Vasquez from WGN.
Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I know WGN. I grew up watching it. It's Patty. And listening
He's not through the board, though, is he?
Yeah. Michael lived here in Chicago.
Yeah, no, he went
here in Chicago.
He guarded at my beach, the same beach I used to lifeguard at, North Avenue.
That's
Beach.
What I'm talking about.
Yep, to Wells, exactly. I know,
cool.
We've never done a speakerphone on WGN. Michael, I'll see you in the morning. I'm bringing the guards from North Avenue Beach.
Yeah, North Avenue, were you a guard too at North Avenue?
Yes, I was. I'm bringing the guards tomorrow morning to make sure you're at the next reunion.
Are you going to bring me your guard? Your guard suit?
We'll see if it fits. We'll see you in the morning, sir.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, Michael.
If you wear that garden suit tomorrow, I will find that for you.
Yeah, they don't make the orange ones. Thank you, sir. We'll see you in the morning.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Oh, too funny. Yeah. Yeah, I used to have our suits were, they were quite the 1990s bathing suits. I do wish you a great weekend. I hope you have a great time in Chicago.
It's already a great time. Oh. You've helped kick it off.
Well, if you want to come and join Michael in the morning, I'll be right back here at 8:45.
I'd love him, but not that much.
Well, we adore
and
you.
I love you, and I love you almost that much.
I know. Appreciate that. It was close. It was tempting. Right. But have a great time at the Walker Soccer Convention. Everyone go be nice and bring him a blanket. You don't have to dress up in you know, do any body parts on tables.
Spaghetti. Bring lots of spaghetti.
Next time I'm here, then I'm going to go smoke a cigar.
Oh my God, that'd be great. These lions from G.I. Jane. More after this on 720 WGN.